excitation in Newton's bond theory is really localized between the atoms. We drew the electrons between the two mixed orbitals, so they are it's a very localized theory, whereas in the MO theory, the molecular orbitals are formed and then we fill in the electrons and they're localized over the entire molecule. This will make more sense when we go into it. And another key difference between the two theories is that in valence bond theory, we have overlap of orbitals, which is similar, and we get hybridized orbitals, so sp, sp3, sp2, sp. These are typical of valence bond theory. In MO theory, as we will see, we don't have these hybridized or hybrid orbitals. We have molecular orbitals, and we form bonding and antibonding orbitals. There's also non-bonding orbitals, but we don't cover that in this lecture. Okay. All right, so let's have a look. So this I already showed you last time. So what is making bonds? Is mixing wave functions of atoms together. That's like a simple description. And technically what that means is forming the linear combinations of these wave functions shown here. This equation is a linear combination of atomic orbitals. And when we make these molecular orbitals, we call them LCA-OMO. This is just definitions. Then we looked at bonding and antibonding orbitals. So if we add the sum of two wave functions with a plus sign in the middle, then we form a bonding orbital, and they add up. So the interference is additive, and we get atomic orbitals that overlap and form a continuous cylindrical shape in this case, and in the 1s orbital of hydrogen. When we form antibonding orbitals, we subtract the two wave functions. So it's they cancel each other out, the two orbitals. And then we get actually negative interference, and we get these orbitals that are looking a bit more complicated. They have nodal planes. We'll draw all the orbitals out step by step for some examples. So again, this will make more sense. And these antibonding orbitals, they are higher in energy. And the way we name them is with a star. So this is something that is particularly specific for MO theory. We have these sigma star, pi star antibonding orbitals that we will see that we didn't see before in valence bond theory. Okay. So let's just draw some orbitals out so that it makes this a bit more practical. So for example, for lithium 2, lithium is in the second period, it's the first element, so it has one valence electron. So it's very simple. One valence electron in each atom. And so the main orbital that will be doing any mixing is the 2s orbital. Second period, it has one valence electron. It's probably going to be the lowest energy orbital, which is 2s. So we can form now these linear combinations of these two orbitals. So if you have two atoms of lithium coming in close proximity, they will mix. So we have the 2s orbital, which is spherically symmetric, and can be described by also a wave function, whose wave psi 2s. And you mix them together, 2s, psi 2s. This is the linear combination of the positive sign, so this will form a bonding orbital. Bonding. What we get is what we've seen before is this cylindrically symmetric sausage shaped kind of sigma bond. So this is the sigma bond again. And this is sigma 2s plus sigma 2s. This is the bonding orbital. So these are the atomic orbitals here, and here we have the molecular orbital. And it's the same rule as before with valence bond theory. When we mix orbitals, if we mix two orbitals, then we will get two orbitals. So the other way we can mix them together is to subtract them, minus 2s. So it's again the same, size 3s. And if you have a minus sign, then the sign changes of the wave function. And often how we denote this is by changing the colors. For example, you have a solid 2s orbital, or I'm going to draw it with this dashed line. So this has a negative sign now. And when you mix these two together, what you will get is something like this. And the two circles should be the same size. And this now is an anti-mounting orbital, so it has a star. And it's fixed by, S minus psi 2s. And this is the second molecular orbital. Okay, so that's the molecular orbitals, how we mix them together. They make one sigma bond, just one electron, so it's a very simple molecule. Now, how can we draw? Now, if we wanted to draw an actual molecular energy diagram, or molecular orbital energy diagram, we put them on an energy axis. So, put the energy axis over here. And we have, the way you draw it is you always start with the atomic orbitals on either side, and then you mix the orbital energies, and you show the energy, how the energy changes in the middle. And this is a very simple case, so we'll have a 2s orbital over here, and a 2s orbital over there. And you can either show that in lines, or you can show it as a box. Both works. And then when you mix the two, you already know we have the sigma 2s, and we have a sigma 2s star. And so the mixing of the two orbitals, what it results in is one orbital gets stabilized, and it's going to be lower, and this is going to be the sigma 2s. And one orbital is, this is the bonding orbital. Bonding. One orbital is going to have an increase in energy because of this negative interference that we've seen before. We get the sigma 2s star orbital. And we draw it like this, we connect the lines between them. And one thing that is important to note, I'm going to change the color, is that the energy is between, so this energy compared to, draw a straight line here, compared to this energy, that's called this delta A and delta EA and delta EB, which is for, can you say, delta EB is always higher to delta EA. So the this means the antibonding orbital is always higher in energy, or has a, the increase in energy is higher compared to the decrease in energy for the stabilizing bonding orbital. And the reason for this, I have a slide that actually describes it in detail, is because of the repulsive action. The nuclear repulsion is an energy that increases the orbital energy of both the bonding and the antibonding orbital. So you can imagine both sigma 2s and sigma 2s star are experiencing nuclear repulsion, so they're moved up from their ideal case. And so this means that this little increase in energy basically decreases the gap here, and it increases the gap here. And there's a slide on it that you describes in here. But this is very an important distinction that is always there. Okay? All right, so this is the simplest case. Now, okay, we are drawing these lines or boxes, which usually means we can also fill in electrons. So this is very similar to the building up principle that we've seen before. So now we can add electrons. And we know that the lithium 2 has two valence electrons, and we use the same principle that we used to four Pauli principle, Hund's rule, to add them from the bottom up into these orbitals. This is a very simple case, so we have one orbital in the bottom, so we can fit in the two electrons. They're going to be anti-parallel to one another into these orbitals. And you can also show the starting electrons on both, on either side. Okay, another thing we can do with MO diagrams is to calculate the bond order. And we have already heard this term. The bond order is basically the number of bonds that the two atoms make. For example, oxygen has a bond order of 2, nitrogen gas has a bond order of The formula for this is, it is also one of the slides. To get to give you all the details, it's very simple actually. It's 1.5 over the bonding electrons, or minus the number of the electrons in the bonding orbitals, and minus the electrons in the non-bonding or anti-bonding orbitals, sorry. And so in this case, what this means, we have bond order of this helium 2 is 1/2 over 2 electrons in a bonding orbitals, because we don't have a star, so this is a bonding orbital, minus 0, because we have no electrons in an antibonding orbital. So 2 minus 0 is equals 1. So the bond order is 1. And this is, of course, true. We know that lithium 2 makes one single bond to 2 electrons. And there's going to be more complicated cases where I will show this. Just change the book, sorry. This is antibonding. Here. Okay. Yeah. So the important things to note when you draw an MO diagram is, if you have the same atom on either side, they should be on the same level. And then the mixing is essentially the bonding orbital lowers in energy, the antibonding orbital is higher energy, and the increase of the antibonding orbital is higher compared to the decrease of the bonding orbital. And you could also draw the actual atomic molecular orbitals that we drew in the slide before next to the others. I'm showing it in a separate case. All right, so this is a simple case. So now we can go maybe to something more complicated. So this is what I've seen before. It's really just the notes are for you. It's kind of like a script today. I will just show you practically how we apply things. So let's look at oxygen. So oxygen is this example that we know it has unpaired electrons, because we have this experiment where we pour liquid oxygen over a magnetic field that gets trapped between the magnets. So there must be unpaired electrons. So let's have a look in MO theory of oxygen. And I drew everything on the same page. It looks a bit messy, so maybe we can first draw the orbitals and then we draw the molecular orbital diagram. Okay, so oxygen is in the second period. It has 2s orbital and 3 2p orbitals available for bonding. So 1 2s orbital and then 3 2p orbitals. And the shapes of these we have drawn before, so it's again the 2s orbital is a spherical. Spherically symmetric, and the 2p orbitals, we can draw them in different orders. I usually like to draw the ones that make the sigma bonds first, 2p, and then we can do the phases as well, 2x, because in this case we will add them up, so there will be some interference, so it makes sense to actually draw the signs of the wave functions as well. So this would be positive, and this is negative. Okay, so these are the orbitals, and so this is the 2pz orbital we've seen before, and then by definition, then this would be the 2py orbital, I think, and then 2px, double checking. Yes, exactly. And so, okay, we can mix these orbitals together to make bonds, and we have seen before that for the sigma bonds, they have to align along the internuclear axis. So if you have O2, the two orbitals that can make sigma bonds are the 2s orbitals and the 2pz orbital. So let's make the sigma bonds first. So if we add the 2s with the 2s, which is the same as we've seen before, 2s plus 2s of either oxygen, so this is 2s, we will get this same orbital that we've seen before for the lithium molecule. They add up, so they form this cylindrically shaped orbital. Then we can form the So the, in this case, the 2s and the 2p orbitals, they are very far apart, so they're not kind of mixed with one another. So what we get in this case is mixing with the 2pz orbitals. So let's call this plus, and then so you will get the two, these two regions here overlap for one big central, let's say, cloud, and they form this orbital here. And this is called the sigma 2p orbital. And then you, this is from the sigma 2pz from both oxygen atoms. They mix together. This is another sigma bond, and then the other combination of this orbital is the opposite sign. So now the sign changes, note here, and this will result in something that looks like this. So we have negative. These are the sigma bonds, sigma orbitals, let's say. And then you can also make p orbitals. Here, which are the remaining orbitals that mix together. And the remaining ones are, let's change the color, are these two up here, 2py and 2px. And so this is going to be not a head-to-head, but a side-by-side interaction. So we can make, we can draw them like this, that, plus, we will form something donut shaped like this. And the drawings, all of them, I'm going to be showing you also the actual images from the book, so you don't have to worry about them. Which is the x direction. I prefer to show you this. Plus, and then it's basically the same, this orbital here on its side. And this is the 2px side 2px. And the bond that we form, the bond in the molecular orbital, P2PX. And then the last one is the other combination, minus, which forms this direction. This is called P2PX star. So this is the antibody. So these are all the orbitals, okay, all the combinations in an oxygen. But now we can draw an energy diagram where we show the relative energies of these orbitals. Next slide. Different color. So we have, first, it's going to be a bit tricky, so I'm going to do it up here. So orbitals, they are lower in energy and they're going to be directly opposing one another. And then we have the two p orbitals, three of them, which are higher in energy. And in the book, they don't show me one line, but I like to draw three lines just to remind myself that there's three orbitals. And so in this case, the energy between these two orbitals is really far because of the shielding, of the nuclear shielding, that oxygen has many electrons already in the atom, so that this pushes the energy of these orbitals apart. And so we basically can treat them as independent orbitals. They're not going to mix. They're not going to mix with each other. It's just the 2s and 2p in the 2p orbitals mixing, which makes things easier. So let's look at the 2s first. So these two orbitals we've seen, we will form these two orbitals, the sigma 2s and the sigma 2s star. So the one is going to be on the bottom, and then we have one that is higher. And the only thing to note, it doesn't really matter where these lines are. Again, the difference here should be higher. This delta B, EB should be higher than delta. That's the only one. Okay. And so these are the sigma 2s and sigma 2s star. Okay? And then for the 2p orbitals, the sigma bond that we make with the 2pz orbitals has a higher molecular orbital overlap. Yeah, is there a question in the back?
Yeah, a question. When do you know that you have something with sigma 2s and sigma 2s star?
When do you know
which one you need to use?
The order? Or which one is first?
Yes.
The sigma star is always higher energy. It's the antimony orbital is always higher energy. Compared to its corresponding sigma s orbital. The pair. Yeah. Okay. So in the 2p case, we have these two, we have six different orbitals that form from the six atomic orbitals. So it's these two here, this one, and these six over here. And we have a lot more molecular overlap in the sigma bond. This is going to be the lowest energy. We can put it here. And then the antibonding is going to be all the way up. So this is one pair. So this is the sigma 2pz orbital. And then this is the sigma 2pz star. And this is a pair that you all together. And then the energies again is the same thing. The lowering of the energy is lower compared to the increase in energy. And then we have only the two pi bonds left. The four pi orbitals, and they are going to be degenerate because they are symmetrically, they're the same except for the orientation in the space. So two of them are going to have a lower energy, and then the antibonding pair is up here. So this is going to be the pi 2px and pi 2py, and then pi 2px star, pi 2py star. Okay. So these are our energies in the MO diagram of oxygen, and now we can again fill in the electrons. And we're going to do a different color. So we have six electrons on each valence electrons on each oxygen, so it's 12 valence electrons that we can fill in. So we fill them in up here, pair the electrons. I guess we can also show them here. And then we have 2, 4. Okay. Is that correct? Let's see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Yeah. So Pauli principle, Hund's rule, so you pair the electrons, and then you have two electrons in the highest orbital here, the p 2 star orbitals, and they're going to fill in each orbital with a single parallel electron first before they start to pair up with another electron. And two unpaired electrons. And this is why we see this paramagnetic behavior for molecules, which is really a triumph for MOC. Maybe saw in previous lectures, whenever I draw something in class, when it's really messy, I draw it again in the final version of the slide. So this might be one of those cases, just so that it's clear in the final slide. Okay, so the bond order in this case is calculated. Bond order is 1/2, then we count all the electrons in bonding orbitals. So we have 2, 4, 6, 8 minus electrons in antibonding orbitals, we have 2, 4. So 8 minus 4, 4 divided by 2 is 2. And so this is in agreement with our Lewis structure of oxygen, which has 2 bonds. So this is in agreement with that, but in addition to the Lewis and the valence bond theory, we also get these 2 unpaired electrons in the highest occupied orbital, which is really explaining us why oxygen is paramagnetic. Okay, so that's of oxygen. Then for nitrogen, things get a bit more complicated. The shapes of the orbitals for these two are very similar. When you draw the orbitals in an exam, I wouldn't expect you guys to know exactly the sizes of the, you know, the lobes, which ones are bigger, is it the lobes at the end or is it the middle lobe? It should, the symmetries should match. The spaces should match, but the sizes of the individual lobes, it's really difficult to predict in many cases, and so I wouldn't expect you guys to know that. So for O2 and N2, the basic shapes of these orbitals are the same. It's just that the sizes of the individual lobes will change, okay? Alright, so then for N2, we have a bit more of a complicated case, and this is because the 2p and the 2s orbitals are close in energy. 2s and 2p are close in energy because there's less shielding with the nucleus, so they will mix. They will also mix when you mix the orbitals. And what that means, we can draw that molecular MO diagram and it will look slightly different. Okay, so let's try step by step. So two, we can still start with the same layout. So we have the 2s. Down a bit. Here, and highlight them. They are new. So we are now mixing together. sigma 2s, the order of is still the same, sigma 2s star, and then sigma 2pz, sigma 2pz star. What changes now is that the p orbitals that you draw in color are going to be different relative to before. So the p orbitals are still lower in energy and are higher in energy. And we have p2px and p2py, p2px star, p2py star. And what you can see is now these two orbitals. They switched the order. Before we had first the sigma 2pz and then the 2p x pi 2px pi 2py. Now they are switched. And this is true for N2 and for the other elements that are to the left of nitrogen. So there's a switch in the order. Now we can fill in the electrons. So nitrogen has 10 valence electrons between two atoms. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then the bond order is 2, 4, 6, 8, minus 2 is 3. And we know from the Lewis structure of nitrogen gas that there is 3 bonds. So this is the reason. And we also know when we pour nitrogen, liquid nitrogen over a magnet, we don't get the same effect as an oxygen where it gets trapped between the magnets. And this is because there's not 2 and 1 paired electrons. Okay. Then the last example I want to show you before we end is carbon monoxide. And here there's an additional complication, which is that we now are dealing with a heteroatom and the energies of the two atoms change. For drawing molecular MO diagrams, all you have to remember is that the element with the higher electronegativity is going to be lower in energy. So when you put them side by side, the oxygen in this case will be lower in energy compared to carbon because of our mnemonic, FOSH. So this is the order of electronegativity. For us to remember, it's useful also for the Lewis structure. So oxygen is lower in energy to carbon, which is all the way up there. Okay, so the shapes of the orbitals that we drew for oxygen are still the same. Again, the size of the lobes will be slightly different, but the basic shapes are the same. So we're just going to draw the energy diagram. So we have the 2s and the 2p orbitals. So we have 2sp and then we can start hiding. Back. So this is carbon 2p, carbon 2s, oxygen 2p, oxygen 2s. And again, it's easiest to draw the sigma bonds first, which have the same trends that we saw before for dinitrogen. So we have one sigma bond that is the lowest in energy, this is sigma 2s. Then we have the middle, changes. star, P, P, Y, star. Okay, and then the last thing we have to do is fill in the electrons. We have carbon has six, carbon has four, oxygen has six, we have 10 electrons to fill in. Two, four, six, eight, ten. And so the bond order for this molecule is 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 8 minus 2 again, so it's 3. And then we look at the Lewis structure of carbon monoxide. It's indeed because 3 is a triple bond. Okay, so that's it. I know there's more in the slides. These are really for you with all the background. But what it boils down to, all the slides that I have in online, is really this is what you would have to be able to do to draw this structure of homonuclear and some simple heteronuclear apps. We're not going to go into polyatomic MO diagrams, so copy 2G4 you can dismiss. And I will also upload a